You're listening to Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. Each week, we will be bringing you a pub quiz style program with five rounds of varying themes consisting of eight questions each. We also start every episode with a bonus anagram, which will be due at the end of the episode after the answers for round five. If you'd like, we have a PDF scoring sheet available on our website, triviatimepodcast.com, which you can use to answer along. Each correct answer will be worth 1 point unless specified otherwise. Get together with your trivia team or play solo, at home, or on the go, because it's trivia time. Welcome to episode 52 of Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. I'm your host, Kelly Sharon, and I'm joined by our quizmaster, Ricky Lime.
Hi there.
Hi, bud.
Hi.
Zach is taking the week off, so it's just Kel and I for this episode, but don't fret too much because our favorite boy toy will be back in the mix next week for our very special one-year anniversary episode. Woohoo!
You know why he's really gone, though, right?
No. Why?
He's avoiding being asked if he's watched Muriel's Wedding again.
Oh my gosh, that's so avoidable. He should just watch it and not ditch us, period.
It's well worth it. He doesn't know what he's missing.
Or maybe he's just like afraid that I was going to ask more questions about the female reproductive system. Maybe he's still recovering from the
Oviducts.
Oviducts. He OD'd on the Oviducts.
It was all too much.
Well, his loss, but also all of our collective loss. We'll miss you, Zach. And before we get going, I just want to remind you all that you have two more weeks to check out our September visual round on our website.
All right, it's time to get to our bonus anagram of the week. This will be due at the end of our program after we reveal the answers to round five, so you have plenty of time to work on it. Our bonus anagram is Her Whitish Nugget, HERWHITISHNUGGET. And the question or clue that goes along with this anagram is, what 1978 Kate Bush song shares a title with the 1847 Emily Bronte novel? Moving on to round one.
So a little background on this round before we get going. A few episodes ago, I revealed that if I ever somehow became a drag queen, I would choose the name Anita Knapp, as in I need a nap. So it got me thinking, and I crafted this general knowledge round, which features answers that contain Knapp, N-A-P, in order within their spellings.
Question number one. What is the German Eurodance group behind the 1992 smash hit, Rhythm is a Dancer? Question number two. Wistfully delivered by Robert Duvall in the 1979 Francis Ford Coppola war film, Apocalypse Now, what is the line that has become one of the most quoted lines in cinema history? Question number three. Based on the French word for sofa, what type of hors d'oeuvre consists of a small piece of bread or cracker topped with a savory garnish? Question number four. Known for its sprawling hillside vineyards and Mediterranean climate, what region north of San Francisco is considered California's wine country? Question number five. What is the term for the stage of mitosis, cell division, that follows metaphase and takes place when the newly replicated chromosomes are moved away from one another to opposite poles of the cell? Question number six. What cult classic 2004 comedy film introduced the world to a socially awkward small-town teenage boy with intense mouth-breathing habits and questionable drawing skills? This film ends with an epic dance performance, earning the titular character both a standing ovation as well as a lady friend. What is this movie? Question number seven. In the classic cocktail, Sex on the Beach, ingredients include cranberry juice, orange juice, vodka, and what? Question number eight. In Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, what character heroically appears moments after Lupin transforms into a werewolf? This character puts himself between the young magicians and the werewolf, protecting them. Who is he? We're going to give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. Here are the answers for round one, Anita Knapp. Question number one. The German Eurodance group behind the 1992 hit, Rhythm is a Dancer, is Snap.
So I had this cassette single when I was in middle school because I actually scored it out of one of those claw grabber machines at a local mall arcade.
Yeah.
And I wore it out.
Those are so tedious because like every 3 minutes you have to act.
Yeah. After every song, then you have a little bit of work to do if you still want to listen to music. It's not fun. Cassettes have not made the same comeback that vinyl has for a reason.
Yeah, well, it's not even nearly as charming or aesthetically pleasing.
But I will say that there's something kind of lovely about old cassette mixtapes. For my last birthday, Kelly basically got me a mixtape, but it was in vinyl form, which is amazing. And on it was included a double dip, which is back-to-back Freak Nasty's Da Dip, 2 times in a row, the double dip. It's a little bar trick I do, but she put that on my record mixtape, if you will, along with some of my other favorite songs, and it was like the best gift ever.
The double dip was precious enough to take up lots of vinyl real estate.
Yeah, can you imagine double dipping on a cassette? Be like, hold on.
When you want to double dip, you don't want to just go back and replay it. You want it to just seamlessly move. Question number two. The popular movie quote was fully delivered by Robert Duvall in the 1979 film Apocalypse Now is, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Feels like it could be California in 2020.
I know, right now. The air quality here is atrocious.
Or worst on record.
The entire West Coast is on fire, basically.
Yeah, it produces these really beautiful suns and sunsets, but also we can't breathe outside.
Yeah, they look like 80s lunchbox, like California graphics, like neon pink suns. They're totally cool in that like Lisa Frank palette kind of a way, but it is bad news out there. Sad times.
Question number three. Based on the French word for sofa, the type of hors d'oeuvres consisting of a small piece of bread or cracker topped with a savory garnish is canapé.
Yerm. I think it's funny that it translates to sofa. Like, obviously, we stuck with the French word for this one.
For sure.
I'll take a piece of that sofa.
Well, it'd be like a My Strange Addiction party where everyone's just eating couch cushions.
I love My Strange Addiction. I just can't stop smelling these diapers.
Everyone knows the couch cushion lady, too. She's, like, so infamous. She's probably like, I'm just trying to eat my canapes. Chill.
It's amazing. Canapes that have some sort of a potato garnish on top, they could be, like, couch potatoes.
Good one. Question number four. The sprawling region north of San Francisco, known for its hillside vineyards, is Napa Valley. Question number five. The stage of mitosis that follows metaphase is anaphase. Question number six. The 2004 cult classic comedy centered around an awkward small-town teenage boy who dazzles his community with an epic dance routine is Napoleon Dynamite.
This movie really holds up. It is still hilarious.
Timeless, timeless piece of entertainment. So many tots.
So stupid and so good. But also has a really great soundtrack and plenty of tater tots.
Such a great soundtrack. Pocket tots, very important.
Pocket tots.
Big fan. Question number seven. Ingredients for sex on the beach include cranberry juice, orange juice, vodka, and peach schnapps.
With a sand rim.
Ugh.
Speaking of a sand rim, though, I do have this funny story that I don't think my mom will appreciate me retelling, but whatever. It's relevant. So she was telling me that when she was in middle school, she found like a Playboy type magazine under the mattress of like one of her teenage brothers. She was like, you know, thumbing through it and reading some of these like salacious articles. And there was something where somebody wrote in about the dangers of actual sex on the beach. And she just remembers that it said, in an instant, one grain of sand can turn from ecstasy to agony.
Oh God.
Yes.
Sand is not comfy. Beds are comfy. Other places are not comfy.
Attention to Kelly's partners. She's not a fan of cake by the ocean.
No, but I like actual cake. Question number 8. In Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the character who heroically puts himself between the young magicians and the werewolf, Lupin, as an act of protection is Professor Snape.
Who was portrayed in the movies by Trent Reznor, who was donning an Amish gown, right?
Yeah.
It was actually Alan Rickman.
Moving on to round 2.
Round number 2 is our audio round. It is a little something we like to do every now and again on Trivia Time. This one is called Smothered and Covered, and it is a music round of cover songs. You will get a half point for song title and a half point for original recording artist.
1. Mama, let me be.
I don't like you, but I love you. Seems that I'm always thinking of you. Oh, you treat me badly.
3.
Me eating orchids, forgive no one just yet. Myself on angel hand, baby.
4.
You're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think that I care for you. Well, you know down inside that I really do.
5.
Seven.
Change what desire make foolish people do. I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you.
8.
Here are the answers for round 2, Smothered and Covered. And as a reminder, we were looking for the song title and the original recording artist, but we'll also include the cover artist in these answers. Song number 1 was American Woman, covered by Lenny Kravitz and originally recorded by Guess Who?
American Woman, stay away from me. American Woman.
Song number 2 was You Really Got a Hold on Me, covered by She and Him and originally recorded by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
You really got a hold on me.
Really got a hold on me. Really got a hold on me.
Song number 3 was Heart-Shaped Box, covered by Glass Animals and originally recorded by Nirvana.
I've been locked inside your heart-shaped box. Oh,
song number 4 was How Deep Is Your Love, covered by The Bird and the Bee, and originally recorded by the Bee Gees.
How deep is your love? Is your love?
How deep is your love? Hurry to me.
Song number 5 was Gold Dust Woman, covered by Hole, and originally recorded by Fleetwood Mac. Song number 6 was Life on Mars, covered by Say Jorge, and originally recorded by David Bowie. Song number 7 was Wicked Game, covered by Giant Drag, and originally recorded by Chris Isaak.
And
song number 8 was Harvest Moon, covered by Poolside and originally recorded by Neil Young. Some good ones, some good covers.
I love a good cover song. All these versions are pretty fun. That Life on Mars cover is from the Life Aquatic soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that movie, though, too.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That is one of my favorite Wes Anderson movies, I think partially because Cate Blanchett is such a gorgeous badass in it, but also the soundtrack's amazing. It includes a Sigur Rós song at this, like, really pivotal moment that just, like, breaks your heart open. It's a cool movie.
Yeah, so beautiful. You made me remember that I love this How Deep Is Your Love by The Bird and the Bees.
It's a good one. Recently, they released a Hall & Oates I Can't Go For That cover that's excellent. But when I see those two band names together, I just want to say The Bird and the Bee Gees.
Yeah, totally. A good smothered and covered round.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Moving on to round 3.
Round number 3 is called Stranger Than Sci-Fi. As our reality bends ever closer to the strange, let's delve into the world of science fiction and all of its metaphors, technologies, parallel universes, and other life forms.
Question number 1. What 1993 Octavia Butler novel finally landed her on the New York Times bestseller list in 2020? Question number 2. What Citizen Kane producer, director, and star performed The War of the Worlds live on the radio, causing a panic to listeners who feared a Martian occupation of Earth? Question number 3. What J.J. Abrams and Jordan Peele HBO series combined science fiction monsters with the horrors of segregation? Question number 4. What Philip K. Dick text was the literary source of the Blade Runner movie franchise? Question number 5. Exploring themes of race, gender, and sexuality, what is the name of Ursula K. Le Guin's Archipelago fantasy series? Question number 6. What prolific The Time Machine author has been called the father of science fiction and the Shakespeare of science fiction? Question number 7. What famous sibling duo is behind such prominent science fiction works as The Matrix, V for Vendetta, and Sense 8? Question number 8. Even though it was not well received in its time, what influential 1927 film is considered the first feature-length science fiction film? We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. Here are the answers for round three, Stranger Than Sci-Fi. Question number one. The 1993 Octavia Butler novel that finally landed her on the New York Times bestseller list in 2020 is The Parable of the Sower.
How come it landed on the bestseller list so long after its release?
I think it circulated on a bunch of those sort of like anti-racist reading lists.
Cool. The bummer thing is that I feel like a lot of the people that are buying these anti-racist pieces of literature are not the racists that need to be.
No, for sure. It's just a bunch of like-minded people passing around reading lists.
Right. It's not giving me hope that there's like some good old boys that are like, I better pick up this novel and open my heart and mind.
No, for sure not. That's not the country we live in.
Hey guys, let's vote.
For sure. Register to vote. Vote early. Question number two. The filmmaker and star of Citizen Kane, behind a panic-inducing performance of The War of the Worlds live on the radio, is Orson Welles. Question number three. The J.J. Abrams and Jordan Peele HBO series that combines science fiction monsters with the horrors of segregation is Lovecraft Country.
So everybody keeps telling me I need to watch this.
You do need to watch it.
Well, when it was first recommended to me, I think by you and Zach over text, and there was no like information provided about what it was about.
Typical.
Yeah, but you guys like gobble up all these garbage reality TV shows.
Hell yeah.
Based on that title though, I was just like, this sounds like some Paula Deen crap, like Lovecraft Country. I thought it was like a farmhouse chic country crafts and down home recipes. And I was like, yeah, cool guys. Knock yourself out with that one.
Oh my God.
Now I know a little bit more about it and I'm actually interested.
Yeah, it's good. Question number four. The Philip K. Dick text that was the literary source of the Blade Runner movie franchise is, do androids dream of electric sheep?
Well, do they? See, Zach also missed this question that combines the words dick text.
Yeah.
Sexed on the beach. Sorry.
No. Question number five. The name of Ursula K. Le Guin's archipelago fantasy series is Earthsea. Question number six. The Time Machine author who has been called the father of science fiction and the Shakespeare of science fiction is H.G. Wells.
That reminds me, we're overdue for a Time Machine music round.
Well, our listeners are in luck then.
Yeah, you know those antics. I think one of those will be coming at us in the next few weeks. Buckle up.
Whoa. It's so crazy.
The year is.
Hold on. Question number seven. The sibling duo behind such prominent science fiction film works as The Matrix, V for Vendetta, and Sense 8 are Lana and Lily Wachowski, or the Wachowski sisters. They're making a Matrix 4.
No way.
Yeah. I think it's Lana, and I think Lily is doing some other project right now, but yeah, there's a Matrix 4 in the works. Yeah, they're pretty rad.
They're totally rad. I like them.
I just rewatched The Matrix recently.
It takes itself so seriously, though. And like the fashion is so 90s. It's ridiculous.
It's so silly. I'm so concerned that all of humanity's consciousness is in a floppy disk. They can't hold anything. They can't even hold a movie.
No, you might as well put it on a cassette single.
Yeah, this was not going to work, guys. Question number eight. The influential 1927 movie, considered the first feature-length science fiction film, is Metropolis. Did you know Metropolis busted in its time?
Yeah, it was considered a flop. A few years back, I saw an exhibit at LACMA. It was on 1920s German filmmakers, and it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
They were booming.
Metropolis was all over that exhibit. And there was just like these installations and these old movie posters. And it was rad. But what I love is because Metropolis is supposed to be like set in the future, all of the architecture included is very like Bauhaus inspired. And those posters are rad.
Yeah. Moving on to round four.
Round number four is called Ka-ching. We are taking it all the way to the bank with this celebrity pop culture round. All of the answers will be celebrities featured in the top 10 list of 2020's Forbes Celebrity 100.
Question number one. Admitting ignorance on such issues as taxes and foreign policy, what rapper is making a 2020 run for the presidency under the birthday party because, when we win, it's everybody's birthday? Question number two. What Brazilian soccer player, considered one of the best in the world, currently plays for Paris Saint-Germain? Question number three. What Los Angeles Laker was the first black man to appear on the cover of Vogue in 2008? Question number four. What shock jock made a run for governor of New York as a libertarian, but opted to withdraw rather than sign a complete financial disclosure? Question number five. Which lip kit celeb was accused of forging tax documents so they would appear as a billionaire? Question number six. Considered a living legend, what tennis player has won more Grand Slam tournament titles than any other men's singles player? Question number seven. Who was the first African-American to own a major film studio? Question number eight. What Portuguese athlete is the first footballer to earn $1 billion in their career? We'll give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. Here are the answers for round four. Ka-ching! Question number one. The rapper making a 2020 run for the presidency under the birthday party, because when we win, it's everybody's birthday, is Kanye West.
I actually kind of love that just because I'm a jackass, but I do hate most of what he does lately.
Yeah, no.
It's not helpful.
I didn't know he was using the birthday party.
It is funny.
It's kind of fun.
Birthday party, great band. Nick Cave, love it. Release the bats.
Mm-hmm. Question number two. The Brazilian soccer player considered one of the best in the world that currently plays for Paris Saint-Germain is Neymar.
I'm not really familiar, but I do love that Saint-Germain liqueur.
Yeah, I'll take that. Question number three. The Laker who was the first black man to appear on the cover of Vogue in 2008 is LeBron James. Question number four. The shock jock who made a brief run for governor of New York as a libertarian is Howard Stern.
Shock anything is just like not shocking and stupid to me. Sorry.
His brand is just sexism.
Literally just sexism. So no, thank you.
Question number five. The lip kit celeb accused of forging tax documents so they would appear as a billionaire is Kylie Jenner.
That's crazy.
Are you sad that we're no longer going to be keeping up with the Kardashians after 2021?
I haven't been keeping up with them in years, girl.
The end of an era.
I think the last time I watched, the sisters were wiping their business on a towel and then like smelling the towel and then ranking like whose smells better.
That sounds about right.
And one of them was just like, don't judge me. I just got off a plane. And I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah, that sounds typical.
I'm sorry. I have three sisters. We don't do that creepy junk. What are you doing? No, thank you.
Question number six. The tennis player who has won more Grand Slam tournament titles than any other men's singles player is Roger Federer. I didn't even think I could pick him out of a lineup.
I think he's white. I think he has brown hair. Probably some short shorts. Maybe a headband. strong legs. Tennis shoes.
All accurate.
Yeah, I got it. Go sports.
Question number seven. The first African-American to own a major film studio is Tyler Perry.
That's pretty huge. They film a ton of things, including Black Panther.
Yeah, Black Panther was a pretty solid movie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Boo, A Madea Halloween, was such an incredible piece of cinema. I mean, I think it did take home Best Picture in 2016, am I right?
I can remember that pretty distinctly.
I mean, I found myself laughing and crying.
A full range of emotion was brought over me. I was transported.
Just kidding.
Question number 8. The Portuguese athlete that became the first footballer to earn $1 billion in their career is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Get that hat trick. Defend the goal.
Moving on to round 5.
So as always, round number 5 is our connection round. It is a series of 7 seemingly unrelated questions and answers that are somehow connected. So the answer to number 8 will be the connection.
Question number 1. What fictional starship in the Star Wars franchise appeared in the 2014 animated film, The Lego Movie, in Lego form? Question number 2. What U.S. president is the only president to have been unanimously elected by the Electoral College? Question number 3. What tall attraction at Disney California Adventure closed in January 2017, reopening 6 months later as the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Attraction? Question number 4. What American writer and pioneer of commercial fiction and American magazines is considered an innovator in the science fiction genre, penning multiple famous works set in the Klondike Gold Rush? Question number 5. One of the last single-screen theaters in California, this historic 1925 theater was a feature location in key scenes of the movie musical La La Land and shares its name with a Venetian region that is also featured in the popular Overwatch video game. What is the name of this theater? Question number 6. What 2015 romantic historical drama film based on a novel starred Saoirse Ronan as a young Irish woman traveling to New York City? Question number 7. Considered one of the hardest streets in Detroit, what is the name of the impoverished stretch 1 mile south of the infamous 8 Mile, which runs along the northern border of Detroit? It's connection time, and question number 8 is the connection between the answers for questions 1 through 7. We're going to give you a few seconds of music to wrap things up before we move on to the answers. And just as a reminder, the bonus anagram will be due at the end of this round. Here are the answers for round 5, our connection round. The Star Wars starship that appeared in the 2014 animated film, The Lego Movie, in Lego form, is the Millennium Falcon. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Question number 2. The only U.S. president to have been unanimously elected by the Electoral College is George Washington.
Is that just because the Electoral College was like 5 guys in a room?
I was literally going to say 5 dudes in a room. I mean, I think like 13 dudes, but yeah, no, it wasn't a real thing.
Honestly, it shouldn't be a real thing now.
No. Question number 3. The tall Disney attraction that closed in January 2017, reopening 6 months later as the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout Attraction, is Tower of Terror.
I'm avoiding it regardless of what it's called. I mean, I just don't want to like free fall. My organs do not need jostling. They already take enough abuse as it is with all my clean living.
Question number 4. The writer and pioneer of commercial fiction and American magazines who penned multiple works set in the Klondike Gold Rush is Jack London.
When we're done reading the Bible for our Trivia Time book club, do you want to move on to like White Fang or something? Just to be a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah.
Cool, cool.
Sounds very exciting. Klondike Gold Rush. Question number 5. The historic 1925 theater that was featured in La La Land and shares its name with a Venetian region that is also featured in the Overwatch video game is Rialto, or the Rialto Theater.
So Zach's not here to defend La La Land and his boyfriend Ryan Gosling, so I'll rip it to shreds. No, I'm just kidding. City of stars. I want to. Hey, cool cat. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. Sorry.
White jazz, Carol Baskin style. Question number 6. The 2015 film, based on a novel that starred Saoirse Ronan as a young Irish woman traveling to New York City, is Brooklyn. I love her.
So good.
So good.
She is going to be in an upcoming film with Kate Winslet where they have romantic scenes together. And I'm very excited about this.
What?
I know. Those two beauties. I know.
That's incredible. I can't wait.
Something to look forward to.
I'm ready. Question number 7. The name of the impoverished stretch 1 mile south of the infamous 8 Mile, which runs along the northern border of Detroit, is 7 Mile.
Duh.
And question number 8 was the connection between the answers for questions 1 through 7, and we had answers like
the Millennium Falcon,
George Washington,
Tower of Terror,
Jack London,
Rialto,
Brooklyn,
and 7 Mile.
And all of those answers include names of famous bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! Bridges!
Woo! Circling back to the bonus anagram of the week, our bonus anagram was her whitish nugget.
That's gross sounding, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting. It can't be anything good.
I don't like it either. So, of course, I was like, that's a cool anagram to use.
Yeah, that's fun. And the questioner clue that went along with this anagram was, what 1978 Kate Bush song shares a title with a 1847 Emily Bronte novel? And the answer is Wuthering Heights. Her whitish nugget scrambles up to be Wuthering Heights.
I love Kate Bush. This song is totally bizarre, but pretty rad. And you should watch the video if you haven't already.
Yeah, this is a good one.
A lot of dancing.
Yeah, a lot of dance.
If you're a fan of the dance.
Thanks for listening to Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. Tune in every week for new episodes. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or feedback, our email address is triviatimepodcast@gmail.com. And our website is triviatimepodcast.com. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for weekly round reveals, free answers, and bonus questions. That wraps up this episode of Trivia Time, the podcast quiz show. We hope you enjoyed listening and playing along. If you did, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. We might even give you a shout out in a future episode.
We did it! Though we missed Zach, we managed on our own.
We managed. Zach, you missed out. But we're very excited to bring you the anniversary episode next week.
Woo!
Lots of goodies and bonus questions and fun stuff in store.
Yeah, we all know how to celebrate, so this won't be short on celebrations. So I'm excited.
Expect balloon drops. Expect pregnant clowns. What else? Okay, cool, cool. Possible cake by the ocean.
Yeah, hold the ocean.
Hold the ocean. It'll be great.
I'm ready. Our background and answer break music this week is Home Planet by Dion Key.
This has been a Pick and Shovel production recorded in Long Beach, California. Special thanks to Lydia, Justin, Abe, and all of our trivia buddies. Until next time.
Question number 3. Based on the French word for sofa. Oh, I hate this word. Say it for me. Why can't I say it? Hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, hors d'oeuvres.
Really? That's how it looks in print? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Damn. I was today years old when I found that out.
Aww.
All right.
You're adorable.
I've eaten so many hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres.
I could resend it to you spelled phonetically if you want.
Shut up.
I could.
Canapé?
I think so, right? Canapé?
You emphasize the E, right? Okay.
Yeah, it's like Beyonce.
Question number 4. The Philip K. Dick text that was... Why? Okay. The Philip K. Dick text... I did it again. He did like a hard stop on the dick. I couldn't get over it. All right.
Hard stop on the dick text. What?
I can't stop.
That's like one of those theaters that has the reclining chairs, though. And I was reading some articles that some people were like getting a little too cozy in there and like bringing their pets and blankets from home. And then also like others that were like doing things in the chairs.
That doesn't surprise me. I see people bring their blankets all the time into that AMC. And I get freaked out when people take their shoes off on the chairs. I like start to squirm. Ugh, I can't handle that.
Yes, they do take their shoes off. And you weren't even next to a lady with her 3 cats and a dude that was masturbating. So, hey.
No, it'd be unthinkable.